Welcome in. This is Drop Impact Automation Masterclass at 170 BPM in Ableton Live, intermediate level. The whole goal today is simple: make your drop hit harder without doing the lazy move of just make it louder. At 170, the difference between a decent drop and a ridiculous one is usually a handful of tiny automation moves, timed right. We're going to build a repeatable system you can reuse on basically any drum and bass tune, a pre-drop zone, a downbeat release, and a post-hit settle. Before we touch anything, a mindset shift. Think micro time. At this tempo, impact often lives in the last eighth note, even the last 16th, before the drop. So when I say in the last bar, I don't mean a big slow sweep that starts early and gets obvious. I mean controlled pressure that accelerates right near the downbeat, then a hard reset exactly on 1.1.1. All right, let's set the session up. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Build a simple layout, an 8 or 16 bar buildup, and a 16 bar drop. For this lesson, we care most about the last bar of the build and the first 4 bars of the drop. That's the impact zone. Now group your tracks, drums, bass, music or Atmos, FX, and Vox if you have it, and create 3 return tracks. Return A is a short verb, return B is a long verb, return C is echo or delay. We're going to do throws into the drop, but we're also going to make sure those throws don't smear the downbeat. Next, create a pre-master. This is important, because it lets you do master-style automation without messing up your actual master chain. Make an audio track called pre-master. Route all your groups to pre-master, and then set pre-master to output to the master. On pre-master, load EQ8, then utility. Here's zone 1. The pre-drop suck in. Last 1 bar. On EQ8, create a high-pass filter at 30 Hz, 24 dB per octave. This is not a DJ low cut. Keep it subtle. Now automate that filter frequency during the last bar, slowly at first, then faster toward the end. You're aiming to move from around 30 Hz up to maybe 60, 80, at most 90 Hz right before the drop. And I want you to listen to what you're doing psychologically. You're not removing bass. You're hiding the deepest weight for a moment. So when you reset that filter on the downbeat, the sub feels like it arrives. Now on pre-master utility, automate width. Over the last bar, pull it in from 100% down to around 70 to 80%. Don't go too narrow. This is about contrast. Your ears get used to the narrower image, and when the drop opens back up, it feels wider even if you didn't actually make it insanely wide. Quick coaching note, curve shapes matter more than the range. For this pre-drop tension, draw an exponential ramp. Slow change for most of the bar, then that last beat ramps faster. That last beat is the lean-in moment. Now let's add a little pressure move on the drums. Go to your drum group and add drum bus. Set drive somewhere between 2 and 6. Crunch can be 0 to 10%. Turn boom off most of the time in D&B, because your sub is already doing the low lifting. Then set transient somewhere like plus 10 or plus 15 to start, depending on your samples. Here's the automation. In the last half bar before the drop, reduce transients. For example, go from plus 15 down to plus 5, then snap it back to plus 15 exactly at the drop. What you're doing is tricking the ear. If you slightly soften the front edge right before the drop, the restored transient at 1.1.1 feels like it jumps out of the speakers. Okay, zone 2, the drop hit, bar 1, beat 1, instant release. First, make sure your pre-master EQ resets. On the downbeat, that high pass goes straight back to 30 Hz with a hard step, not a ramp. Hard step. The ear needs to register the contrast immediately. Now go to your bass group. Build a clean chain. EQ8, then saturator, then utility. On EQ8, just make sure the sub fundamentals are clean. If your bass is boxy, you can consider a gentle dip around 200 to 400 Hz, but don't carve just because a tutorial told you to. Let the sound tell you. Now automate the bass group utility gain for contrast. In the last bar of the buildup, pull the bass group down by 1, maybe 2 dB. Then at the drop, go back to 0. Keep this small. The whole philosophy is contrast, not brute gain. Also, keep your sub stable. In utility, keep width very low for the bass. Think 0 to 30% at most. And if your version of utility has a bass mono option, use it. D&B rule, wide sub equals weak club translation. Center that weight. Now let's tighten the drum hit without clipping. On the drum group, after drum bus, you can add glue compressor. Starting point, attack at 10 milliseconds so the transient gets through, release on auto or around 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Set the threshold, so you're only getting about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on loud hits. No makeup gain for now. Level match manually. And here's a nice intermediate automation move. In the last bar of the buildup, lower the threshold a touch so it's gluing a bit more. Then right on the drop, raise the threshold so it glues less. Less glue on the downbeat equals sharper transient perception. Now zone 3, post-hit control. This is where a lot of producers miss. They make the first hit impressive, and then the drop instantly feels flat. We're going to do a hit, then a settle, then a groove. Before we do that, we need space control. Because reverbs and delays are the number one reason a downbeat feels blurry. Set up your returns. On return A, short verb, decay around 0.4 to 0.8 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, low cut 200 to 400 Hz, high cut 8 to 12 kHz. This is your glue room, not your cinematic tail. On return B, long verb, decay 2.5 to 5 seconds, pre-delay 20 to 40 milliseconds, low cut 250 to 600 Hz, high cut 6 to 10 kHz. Then put EQ8 after the reverb and high pass again somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. This is so your long verb doesn't dump low mids all over your kick and snare. On return C, echo, set time to a quarter note or an eighth dotted. Feedback 20 to 35%. Filter it. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Now pick one element to throw into the drop. Don't throw everything. Choose one. A vocal chop, a snare fill, a riser, or a jungle stab. In the last two beats before the drop, automate the send to long verb up briefly. Somewhere in the range of minus 6 to minus 3 dB on the send level is plenty, depending on the sound. Then maybe add a touch of echo for a single hit or a word. Then, at the drop, cut those sends back down fast. And here's the pro move. Kill or duck the tail at the drop. On return B, the long verb return. Put a utility after the reverb and EQ. Automate utility gain so it's at 0 during the build. Then at 1.1.1 it drops instantly. You can go all the way to minus infinity for a hard kill, or try minus 12 dB for a softer cut. Then recover over the next bar. This keeps the vibe of a big build, but protects the clarity of the first kick and snare. If you're doing liquid or atmospheric stuff and you don't want a hard kill, an alternative is ducking. Put a compressor on the long verb return, sidechained from your kick and snare bus. Medium fast release. That way the reverb stays big, but it steps out of the way when the drums hit. Now let's widen the drop in a controlled way. On your music or Atmos group, add utility. Pre-drop, keep width around 80 to 90%. On the drop hit, you can jump to around 110 to 130% if it still sounds solid in mono. If it gets hollow when you mono your mix, back it off. Also watch the 150 to 400 Hz zone in wide elements. Too much wide low mid is a classic hollow drop culprit. Also, manage the high end like a professional. Automate brightness. On your hats or top loop track, at EQ8, create a gentle high shelf, maybe plus 1 to plus 3 dB at 8 to 12 kHz. In the pre-drop, keep it flat at 0. At the drop, raise it. Then do the underrated part. After bar 1, settle it back slightly. Even half a dB to 1 dB down after the first bar can create that hit. Then lock feeling, where the groove takes over instead of staying in permanent first hit hype. Now let's add one arrangement-based punctuation trick, because automation works best when the arrangement supports it. Classic D then B impact in bar 1. Full drums and bass on beat 1. Then on beat 2, remove something very briefly. You can mute the bass for an eighth note, or pull out a top layer for a quarter note. Then bring it back on beat 3 with a tiny fill or just the normal groove returning. In Ableton, you can do this with track mute automation, but I often prefer automating utility gain so there's no risk of clicks or weird unmute behavior. The point is, silence is the loudest automation, especially right after a big hit. Now, quick sanity checklist before you listen back. Sub is centered and stable. Your reverb returns are high passed and not blooming in the low mids. No wide layer is dominating that 150 to 400 area. And if you have a limiter on the master, it should not suddenly clamp harder on the downbeat than it did in the build. If it does, you didn't create impact, you created a problem. Let's do a mini practice run. The fastest way to lock this in. Take a simple loop, kick, snare, hats, a reese or rolling sub, and a pad or Atmos. Create one bar pre-drop and a four bar drop. Now automate only five things. First, pre-master EQ8 high pass from 30 up to about 80 Hz over the last bar, then reset at the drop. Second, pre-master utility width from 100 down to 75% over the last bar, then reset to 100% at the drop. Third, Drum bus transients from plus 15 down to plus 5 in the pre-drop, then back to plus 15 at the drop. Fourth, long verb return utility gain, 0 during the build, then instantly down at the drop, recover over 1 bar. Fifth, hats high shelf, 0 in the build, plus 2 dB at the drop, then consider backing it off slightly after bar 1. Now A/B test properly. Duplicate the section and remove the automation from the copy. And here's the key. Level match. Use utility to make sure you're not tricking yourself with loudness. If the automated version feels bigger at the same perceived loudness, you did it right. If you want to push further, here are two intermediate plus ideas that still stay clean. 1. Mid-side contrast on Atmos. Put EQ8 on your music group, switch to M/S mode, and in the pre-drop gently reduce side highs. Then restore instantly at the drop and let it bloom over the first bar. It reads as width without messing with sub. 2. Add a dedicated impact layer that doesn't fight the sub. Make an impact track with a short Foley hit or clicky thump. High pass it around 120 to 200 HE, add a tiny bit of saturation, maybe in a very short room. Place it exactly on 1.1.1 and keep it quiet. It adds physicality and touch without stealing low end. Alright, recap. At 170 BPM, drop impact is contrast and timing, not raw level. Work in 3 zones, tighten the pre-drop, release on the downbeat with hard resets, and then control the post-hit so the groove gets bigger instead of just louder. Use EQ8 and utility on a Premaster for safe, musical micro moves. Use drum bus and optionally glue to shape transient perception. Use reverb and echo throws into the drop, but protect the downbeat by killing or ducking the long tail. Keep sub mono, keep the low mids from going wide and hollow, and always A/B at matched loudness. If you tell me what style you're aiming for, like liquid roller, jungle, neuro, jump up, and whether your drums are two-step or break-based, I can suggest a bar-by-bar automation map with exact 1/8 note timings for that last bar into 1.1.1.